I'm Rhonda Hamilton. We are here at IAJE, and it's such a great pleasure to welcome Quincy Jones to our booth here. It's an honor to meet you.
It's an honor to meet you too, Rhonda.
You're someone who I've admired for many, many years, and a man of enormous talent and accomplishment. I mean, a musician, a composer, an arranger.
Can't drive.
Well, we're talking about the things that you do. Producer of records and film and television, record company executive, founder and publisher of magazines, and a multimedia entrepreneur, and a man who has won numerous awards and honors, including this year's NEA Jazz Masters Award. So yes. Congratulations on that.
Very honored.
And given all your success and notoriety in so many different fields of entertainment and styles of music, what does this recognition as a jazz master mean to you?
This is the Holy Grail, as far as I'm concerned, because when I looked out in the audience today, I saw everybody in my life, from John Hendricks to Georgie Botkin to Roy Haynes to Joe Wilder. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. John Hendricks, you know, guys, we starved to death together. We've done everything together for a long time,
for 50 to 60 years,
you know.
Well, you've accomplished so much. Did you ever dream that you'd have this life as a child when you were coming up?
Absolutely not. I just wanted a life, period. You know, we didn't have what you'd call a perfect childhood. I just wanted to get out of the house and be independent enough to eat three or two times a day and stay with music, you know, because I just knew music was... I found out at 11 years old, after we moved from Chicago, that I didn't want to be a gangster like everybody in Chicago was. I wanted to be a musician, and I found out by just touching a spinet piano.
Touching the piano.
We broke in a place and ate the pie and everything else, and we broke in this room, and I saw a spinet piano over in the corner and almost closed the door, and I walked back in and touched that piano, and every cell in my body said, this is what you're going to do the rest of your life. I was 11 years old.
And you knew. Well, that's a great gift. I mean, to know
from,
at such
God.
A young age, yes.
From God.
Yes, and it's opened up a whole world for you. When you played the trumpet, though, when did you pick that up?
Well, I started after I hit that piano. I started to play piano all day long, and I stayed after school at Robert Koontz Junior High School in Bremerton, and I learned how to play it. All the percussion: sousaphone, tuba, B flat, baritone, E flat, alto, French horn, trombone, because the trombone players got to go up in the marching band up next to the majorettes. The trumpet players were in the back. I really wanted to play trumpet, but so I waited later to get the trumpet. That's what I really wanted to play. So I played all the brass instruments. That's why I love to write for brass.
Yeah. Well, you came up in the big band era, but you also worked with so many wonderful artists, and with all that you do in entertainment, you must know just about everybody in show business and the world of entertainment.
It's scary.
But I wanted to ask you about a few special people in your life that maybe you could give us some brief thoughts about them, somebody like Ray Charles, for example.
Oh, my God. Well, Ray and I could have been blood brothers. He came to... Seattle, 1948. I was 14, and he was 16. And he was 100 years older than me because he had his own apartment. I'm still living at home, and I just wanted to get out and be independent. He had two suits of his own and two girlfriends. And everything he did was like 100 years past everything. And we got hooked up by God, and we worked all of our childhood, his whole entire career till the day he left. We worked together. We did all the dreams, because you have to remember, back in the 40s, we didn't have Michael Jordans and Oprahs and P. Diddy's and people. We didn't have people to emulate. We didn't know who we wanted to be. So we were trying to figure out what we wanted to be, because we went in the books in the Northwest after we left Chicago. There was no television, and on radio was Rochester and Beulah and Amos Nandy, which we know were white. And so we had to try to find a way to find ourselves, find idols and role models. And every day we used to say, not one drop of my self-worth depends on your acceptance of me. So we wouldn't have to worry about exterior identification of who you are. And we held on to that. And that saved our lives.
Well, this has kind of been a running theme through my various conversations that I've had since we've been here, how the music and the artists who create this music have really been role models and sources of inspiration to so many people to this day.
Yeah.
That the music has saved a lot of people's lives and continues to do so.
You're right. And that's how it used to happen. And I try, when young people come and ask me today, I'm just starting, what would you advise? I say, take your ten favorite artists, whether you're a singer, trumpet player, whatever, and put them on one piece of tape or one whatever, and copy every note they do, because it's a chance to walk in the shoes of giants, and it works. That's the way jazz started. King Oliver influenced Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong got his own style. And Roy Eldridge copied him, and then Roy Eldridge got his own style. He influenced Dizzy Gillespie, and the baton was passed down.
Mm-hmm.
And they learned it from each other, taken generation by generation. And I think it's a great way to feel what it feels like to walk in the steps of a giant.
Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you so much, Quincy Jones, for taking out this few minutes that you have with us. Everybody behind you is going crazy, saying that we have to cut our conversation. But I thank you so much, and I hope sometime in the future we get a chance to talk a little bit longer, because you've made such an invaluable contribution. I don't mean invaluable, but immeasurable contribution to the world of jazz and music and entertainment and culture in general. And I know that you continue to do so through your various companies.
Are you a singer?
No, I'm not.
What, with that beautiful voice, you have the most beautiful voice.
Well, thank you so much.
It's incredible.
That means a lot to me.
No,
coming
it is.
From you.
You have a singer's voice.
Yes, well.
You should look into that.
Well, I might just do that.
No, you do. You have a gorgeous voice.
Well, thank you
so
much.
The microphone loves fiber, and you have the perfect fiber in your voice that microphones love.
Well, I will keep that with me as a source of
inspiration.
You know
that. That's why you've been on the air.
Yes. Quincy Jones, thank you so much, and we will let you go, and thank you for your music. I've been playing some selections from what I say is my favorite album of yours, The Quintessence, and especially this tune gets me going. If you're ever feeling down, just put on this Quincy Jones record, and you'll be feeling good.